Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is December 12, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Netherlands plans to punish crypto scammers with up to 6 years in jail. Equilibrium stablecoin now has $17.5 million in insurance that pays out automatically. Dutch Bank Inc. reportedly working on crypto custody tech. Cryptopia's liquidator claws back nearly $5 million, but identifying crypto ownership a mammoth task. Bitcoin eyes miner price bounce after hitting 2-week low. Binance adds new fiat payment options through integration with P2P exchange Paxful. Bitcoiners are building a sidechain version of Ethereum's Maker DAO. Volcker might have said yes to a digital dollar if he knew what it was. Now let's get started. Netherlands plans to punish crypto scammers with up to 6 years in jail. The Netherlands is planning on bringing in harsher penalties for scams involving banking apps and cryptocurrencies. Proposed new legislation from the country's Ministry of Justice and Security is aimed to align penalties for fraud utilizing these newer payment methods with those for crimes involving more traditional payments such as credit cards. Card crime already has a maximum 6-year jail term, while currently the penalty is from 1 to 4 years for apps and crypto, NL Times reports on Wednesday. Aside from cryptocurrency and payments apps, the report also lists bill-sharing apps like Tikki as being subject to the planned bill, currently being worked on by Justice Minister Ferdinand Grapperhaus. The legislation builds on the EU's anti-money laundering directive, according to another report from NOS. Grapperhaus reportedly said that fraud via these newer payments methods is increasingly commonplace and can target large numbers of people. The minister said he hopes bringing in tougher penalties would act as a deterrent. The new sentencing regime will also apply to crimes such as falsifying payment data, owning or selling falsified data, credit card forgery and phishing schemes, said NL Times. Dutch Bank Inc. reportedly working on crypto custody tech. Netherlands-based banking multinational ING is developing technology for the custody of crypto assets, according to Reuters. The news agency said in a report on Wednesday that sources familiar with the matter indicated that the ultimate aim of the initiative is to provide secure crypto storage facilities for the bank's customers. The tech, though still in the early stages, is apparently being built by a team based in Amsterdam. Responding to Reuters in a statement, ING said it sees increasing opportunities with regard to digital assets on both asset-backed and native security tokens, and is taking a particular focus on developing blockchain technology to open up the sector for clients. ING is already involved in a number of blockchain initiatives, with its dedicated development team saying in April that it's working on privacy technology called bulletproofs to potentially conceal client data. It's also working on blockchain-based trade finance as part of consortium startup R3's Marco Polo project and another in partnership with ABN AMRO, also a Dutch bank. In January, ING inked a 5-year licensing deal with R3 for use of its Corda Enterprise platform. If ING now moves into custodianship of crypto assets, it will be one of very few traditional finance institutions to have done so. Fidelity's digital assets arm launched custody services earlier this year, as did Bakkt, the Bitcoin derivatives subsidiary of Intercontinental Exchange. A plan by Japanese bank Nomura to offer institutional-grade custody for digital assets was delayed till 2020 in spring. Otherwise, only a few smaller banks such as Julius Baer and Arab Bank's Swiss arm have moved to offer the service in a bid to attract clients. Cryptopia's liquidator claws back nearly $5 million, but identifying crypto ownership a mammoth task. The liquidator for the collapsed New Zealand-based crypto exchange Cryptopia has retrieved $7.2 million New Zealand dollars, $4.74 million United States dollars, on balance since the platform was hacked for possibly $16 million in January. The assigned liquidator, accounting firm Grant Thornton New Zealand, released a report Wednesday detailing the breakdown of the retrieved assets and the challenges it faces in tracking down some of the user funds. Overall, the firm recovered $10.9 million New Zealand dollars in new receipts from May to November, include $5 million New Zealand dollars from a third-party trust fund, $4.4 million New Zealand dollars converted from the exchange's own 344 bitcoins, and $200,000 New Zealand dollars from sale of assets such as furniture and equipment from Cryptopia's office. However, expenses arising from the ongoing liquidation process amount to 3.7 million New Zealand dollars, including distributions to preferential creditors, salaries, legal expenses, and liquidators' fees. That leaves 7,164,835 New Zealand dollars in assets that can potentially be refunded to users. The start of that process still looks likely to be some time coming. Although said to be well underway, the report also offers an explanation of the time-consuming process needed to identify each customer's holdings. We are working to reconcile the accounts of over 900,000 active customers, many holding multiple crypto assets, millions of transactions, and potentially over 900 different crypto assets, the liquidator said. It's proving extremely difficult to find out how much of which assets customers held on Cryptopia, the liquidator said, citing two reasons. Firstly, the customers did not have individual wallets, and crypto assets were instead pooled in general wallets. Grant Thornton explained, "While Cryptopia held details of customer holdings and reported these on the exchange, the crypto assets themselves were pooled, co-mingled, in coin wallets. As a centralized exchange, customers' trades would occur in the exchange's internal ledger without confirmation on the blockchain." Additionally, the exchange never completed reconciliation of its customer databases with the cryptocurrencies actually held in its wallets, leaving a mammoth task to ascertain each customer's holdings. Also, a potential hurdle to eventual payouts is the fact that there are legal issues to be resolved first. The liquidator has appealed to New Zealand's High Court seeking directions on the legal status of crypto assets in the nation. Whether the court rules that crypto assets count as property or not will decide whether they can be held on trust for affected customers or whether the firm keeps beneficial ownership, Grant Thornton said. The liquidator's next statutory report is not due until May 2020, however, it expects to provide another update to stakeholders after the High Court hearing in February. Cryptopia went into liquidation in May after it suffered from financial losses and plummeting trading volume due to the January hack. Soon after, Grant Thornton filed for bankruptcy protection in the U.S. in order to preserve the only records of customer data that were stored on a server in Arizona. Bitcoin eyes miner price bounce after hitting two-week low. Bitcoin has fallen to two-week lows near $7,070. Intraday charts suggest scope for a minor bounce to $7,300. A UTC close above $7,870 is needed to confirm a short-term bullish reversal. Acceptance below support at $7,087 would bolster the short-term bearish setup and open the doors for a retest of recent lows near $6,500. Bitcoin has potential for a small price bounce after hitting two-week lows early on Thursday. The top cryptocurrency by market value fell to a two-week low of $7,072 during the Asian trading hours and was last seen changing hands at $7,160 on Bitstamp, representing a 0.8% drop on a 24-hour basis. The week began on a negative note, with the cryptocurrency registering a 2.4% drop on Monday after facing strong rejection above $7,600. Since then, the bulls have struggled to make their presence felt despite the weekly chart flashing a golden crossover, a bull cross of the 50 and 100-week averages, for the first time since 2016. The lagging indicator's failure to attract buyers is not surprising, given the overall market conditions are currently bearish. The cryptocurrency has been charting lower highs and lower lows since topping out at $13,880 in June and is currently down more than 45% from that level. The short-term technical studies are also biased bearish. However, intraday charts are reporting seller exhaustion. So, a minor bounce could be seen before a potential deeper sell-off. The long tail attached to the previous hourly candle above left is signaling seller exhaustion. On the 4-hour chart, the RSI is creating higher lows, contradicting the slow drop in prices. That bullish divergence is signaling scope for a price bounce. Backing that up, the 4-hour chart's MACD histogram is printing shallow bars below the zero line, a sign of weakening of bearish momentum. Bitcoin may rise to the 10-day MA at $7,336 in the next few hours. The short-term outlook would turn bullish only above $7,870, though. A UTC close above the November 29 high of $7,870 would invalidate the lower highs setup and confirm a short-term bearish to bullish trend change. Currently, that looks unlikely with the MACD histogram printing lower highs above the zero line, confirming the recent drop from highs above $7,600. The 14-day relative strength index is hovering in bearish territory below 50, having violated an ascending trendline earlier this week. A break below the immediate support at $7,087, if confirmed, would bolster the bearish setup and open the doors for a retest of recent lows near $6,500. Much like the DeFi project Uniswap, the money-on-chain portal to the protocol Geo blocks jurisdictions with compliance issues, including the United States, India, China, and Egypt. After all, issuing a token advertised as offering passive income from a specific system operated by these entities might run afoul of securities regulations in North America. In part, Zaldivar said, starting with these geographic limitations are fine because this system was designed for Latin Americans, by Latin Americans. We want this system to serve the needs of people who aren't being served by the traditional financial system in Latin America, Zaldivar said. Dick Bove, a 5-decade financial industry analyst for the brokerage firm Odeon Capital, said in a phone interview that Volcker likely would have opposed Bitcoin and other digital assets built by independent developers. According to Bove, Volcker believed central banks should have control of the financial system in a given nation, and it should have control of interest rates and the volume of currency being created, and it should be used to help the country meet whatever goals are needed at any point in time. But a digital currency issued by the central bank? Bove bets Volcker would have been all for it, just for the sake of keeping up with new technology. If the need for a central bank digital currency arose, I think Volcker would have created it, Bove said. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said last week that he and the current Fed chair, Jerome Powell, agree that there's no need for a digital version of the dollar in the near future, in the next 5 years. Paul Brodsky, a partner at the crypto-focused investment firm Pantera Capital, argues that Volcker likewise might have taken a cautious approach to a digital dollar rollout. He would have waited and let it see how it played out in the private sector before pushing forward with a Fed digital currency, Brodsky said. Keeping a tight lid on money. Jimmy Song, with crypto-focused venture capital firm Blockchain Capital, says Volcker might have endorsed a digital dollar as a technology. But that leaves unsolved what Song sees as the basic problem that led to the original formation of Bitcoin. In the wake of the 2008 crisis, technocrats' efforts to exercise too much control over money, leading to mistakes and excesses. Volcker is not someone who wanted to give people self-sovereignty or freedom, Song said in a phone interview. A Fed-backed digital currency is conceptually not very different from the system that he oversaw. It's mainly just an infrastructure upgrade. But not too tight. David Yermak, chair of New York University's finance department, says he knew Volcker and that the late Fed chief was surprisingly conservative when it came to the benefits of limited government. One benefit of some digital dollar proposals is that individuals might be able to deposit money directly with the Fed, without having to set up accounts at commercial banks. But that might create the risk of abuse for political reasons, since the government would have more direct control over people's money, says Yermak, who teaches courses on Bitcoin and has co-authored research papers on central bank digital currencies. Some critics of China's push for a digital yuan argue that it would simply become easier for central authorities to monitor citizens. The benefits of a central bank digital currency might be desirable but encroach on personal freedom, Yermak said. Volcker had a lot of faith in the private sector. He was never a person who stressed big government for its own sake. But according to Silla, the financial historian, Volcker would not have wanted to cede monetary authority to private companies like Facebook, which is developing a digital asset for payments, known as Libra. What Volcker would have said if he were still with us and we could ask him, is that the idea of a central bank digital currency was an idea worth studying, but I'm pretty certain he would not want it to be under the control of Mark Zuckerberg, Silla said, referring to Facebook's CEO. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.